Okay, this morning, we finished last Sunday. We finished verse 34 in chapter 8. We're going to pick it up this morning in verse 35. It's where we're going to start teaching. But I want to back up this morning, and this whole thing just flows together so beautifully, the way God orchestrated this. I want to go back to verse 31, yeah. And we'll read verse 31 through 39. And as we go through these verses, folks, I want you to ask the question. Watch these verses carefully. Can you lose your salvation? And as we go through these words, think of it as if God is right here and God is speaking these words right directly to you, to me, okay? Because that's exactly what it is. The Bible says these words are God-breathed, okay? So these words are coming directly out of the mouth of God to us, okay? And ask yourself the question, and I'm just going to say this. If you guys, there's a lot of people in this area that believe you can lose your salvation. It's taught in churches in this area, okay? And maybe all across the United, all across the world, I don't know. But I got to thinking, coming here this morning, if you know of somebody like that, have them, if you, you're still taping these things, aren't you, Pastor, these lessons? Okay. Have them listen to last week and this week today, you know, and you may have to sit down with them and say, hey, here's something I want you to listen to. You believe you can lose your eternal security, have them listen to it. Because that's what we're covering last week and this week. So, just some thoughts. Okay, so who would read 31 through 39 for us? Delbert?
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Okay, thank you, Delbert. I mean, can you state it any better than that, folks? How can you top that? Folks, God's the highest court. There is no court higher than God's court. And if he's for us, who can be against us? Okay? I think this book of Romans, wow. Okay. Now, we've been through 34, so we're going to begin at 35 this morning. So verse 35 starts off, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, and then it goes through all these different things that can happen to us. Okay. God's love is a love from which there could be no separation, period. Okay, period. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. We can stand with great confidence that God loves us with an everlasting love from which there can be no separation. You know, who's going to pluck us out of God's hands? And that which we've committed unto him, he will keep. He's going to keep it. That is the truth of salvation seen in its fullness. Okay, this, of course, is the truth of eternal security. The Bible teaches eternal security. And people that do not believe in eternal security, I mean, they've got to rip these pages out of their Bible. They've got to. And God says we're not to add anything to His Word or take anything away. That's His Word. When God predestined us, He predestined us to glory. We've seen that in that one verse from beginning to the end, you know. And nothing can change that. So what's the possibilities that could change God's love? And so Paul lists some here. What are some things here? And then he goes into it. Shall tribulation? First question. That word tribulation is T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S in the Greek. And it's what that actually means. It is when you are cornered and out of options. You're cornered and out of options. It has to do with tremendous pressure from outward difficulties, outward pressures being applied to us, being accused of certain things, being rejected by the people in your group or in your society or in your family or whatever. Persecution from outside, enduring bodily harm and so forth. There's a price to pay for being a believer. Folks, the Bible says we're going to suffer persecution, tribulation. It's going to happen. If it's not happening now, it will soon. It's coming, okay? Do these things separate us from the love of Christ? No. No, the obvious answer is no. Tribulation. It goes on to say, or distress. The word in the Greek, It is S-T-E-N-A-C-H-R-I-A. It's two words, all right? The two words, it means narrow and space. And it means to be caught in a narrow space. To be hemmed in without any way out. It has to do more with inward difficulty. Now, the first one, the tribulation, was outward pressure. This is inward pressure, pressure from inside of us, okay? You're out of options. And it has perhaps to do with temptation. You know, a lot of times this refers to temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that we're going to be taken through the temptation. In fact, we need to read that verse. Let's just turn to that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who'd read that verse for us? Okay, Alan? Okay. Thank you, Alan. I'm starting to get your name right now for a change. I'm starting to learn who you are. So I struggle with that, folks. You know that. Okay. So God is going to provide a way of escape. Now, a lot of times the word temptation or trials are used interchangeably in the Bible. And so it could be, but this is mainly inward stuff, inward feelings, thoughts, emotions. You know, that's basically what it's talking about. Notice it says that we're going to be taken through the temptation, through the trial. A lot of times we say, God, remove this thing from me. Take it away. Get rid of it. And basically, God's got that there for a purpose. He has a reason. And whatever you're going through right now, God is in it. He knows about it. He could have stopped it. He's chosen not to. It's a path you've been chosen to go down. It's His will. If it wasn't His will, folks, it wouldn't be happening. But God, you know, a lot of times we pray to get rid of it. We actually need to pray, God, I need Your strength to get through this. Help me to get through it. Because if we get through it, Book of James says on the other end, we're going to be stronger. We're going to be a better Christian. We're going to grow spiritually as a result of the trial and the temptation. So Lord, help me to learn the lesson. And Lord, and help me not to miss this opportunity to share the situation with others. And so now that goes against our human flesh. We just say, God, please remove it. And I think I've said this before, but there was one morning here, a lady asked me, Jim, how can I pray for you? You know, and I says, pray that God's will be done. Either way. And then I'm asking, but I got to ask God for strength. I said, God, I'm not strong enough to do that. You know, to do that and not to waver. And I need your help to do that. And I'm asking for it. And you know, you ask God for it, he'll give it to you. And again, Nancy, she has said right after we got the bad news, I've told you this, you know, but Nancy, we're driving down the road, just left. We're looking for a place to stop and eat. And she says, Jim, I've got such peace. I have got such peace about this whole thing. She was just told it's the worst form of cancer you can have, the highest level. It's the hardest to treat, and it's the most aggressive growing. And says, Jim, I've got such peace. You know, and I thought, wow, you know, that's strength. And I draw strength from her. And she draws it from me. We're in this thing together, folks. We as a body, we're all in this thing together. You've got your situation. And as I'm talking about us, be applying these principles to your situation. Because you've got problems too. You've got trials you're going through. Okay. Where in the world was I? Okay, the only way out is through. Through the trial. Through the temptation. Don't, you know, if God removes it, you're going to miss a blessing in the end if you persevere, and God is going to help you persevere. He's on your side. When you're in the middle of temptation, God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God promises, he says, I'm not going to put anything on you that you are not able to bear. That's straight from Scripture. A lot of times I say, God, do you understand? Are you sure you understand what I can bear? You know, yes, he does. He understands. He knows. We should pray not to get out of it, but to be able to bear it, to be able to go through it, and come out stronger on the other side. That's what it's all about. It goes on to say, or persecution is the next terminology in this verse. And basically it's referring to our persecution because of our testimony for Jesus Christ. And it means physical or mental suffering at the hands of those who reject Christ. Those who hate Christ, they're persecuting. Folks, it's going on all over the world. And we've been spared. We have been spared. And there's a good chance that persecution is going to be coming in greater and greater quantities. And I think these verses here are going to help. God's preparing us for what's coming, I believe. I believe. I hope I'm wrong, but I believe. Being exposed to treachery and plots of those who hate what you love, which is God, the Lord, Jesus Christ. All right? It goes on to say, or famine. And that means to be utterly deprived of food. To be slammed in a jail cell and left to die because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, we've had so many people, examples in the Bible and also examples in the world. You know, we get stuff put out by the Book of the Martyrs. Who's that? Who's the group? What? Yeah, Voice of the Martyrs. Yeah. We had a devotional book, and we had, you know, one of them things that went through it every year. And I tell you what, the stories in that, we did that for a year. And some of the stories are just unbelievable. You know, of persecutions that stood up, you know, teenagers, you know, kids, little kids, And the horrendous things they went through, they remained firm and strong. And I always like stories with happy endings. And folks, I look at them from a human standpoint. It's not a happy ending. But we know in eternity it is, okay? There is a martyr's crown that people are going to have for all of eternity that those that aren't martyrs don't get. They have an extra blessing, okay? The verse goes on to say, or nakedness, okay? That does not literally mean nudity when it talks about that. But to be so poor and destitute you can hardly clothe your body is actually the actual meaning of that verse. Goes on to say, or peril. And peril means to be exposed to treachery. In other words, people are plotting and just doing things against you because you're a Christian. And that's the only reason. There's people in prison now in some of these Muslim areas, you know. And, I mean, their crime is that they believe in Jesus Christ. That's their crime. They're put in prison. They're killed. They're martyred. Their families are torn apart. Okay? And it just means always being plotted against. There's always something being plotted against you. And folks, I know we've been spared from that. And I think as a result, I think we're soft. As Christians, we're soft, and I think God could very well be getting ready to toughen us up. And folks, we need to ask God for help to be able to stand and be strong. And I ask God for that, you know. And I say, God, there's a song that came back. When He comes back, will He find us faithful? Something to that effect. And I remember, you know, will God find us faithful? And I ask a question a lot of times. We need to ask ourselves, if the pressure really gets bad, are we going to buckle? You know, under my own strength, yes. I am weak. I'm very weak, folks. And I can buckle. But with God, me and God make a majority. You and God make a majority. Okay? And with His help and His strength, we can stand it. And He is on our side. He's for us. If God be for us, it says, who can be against us? So He's for us. Or sword. And that just means the assassin's dagger. It means death. That's the last thing in that verse, you know, or sword. Are we willing to die for our faith? It's where we separate the men from the boys. What does our religiosity mean to us? Does it mean anything at all? Or are we going to cut and run? Okay, kind of in summary on that verse, you know, it says these are the worst possible stress situations. Could they drive us to reject Christ? Could they drive us to doubt Him? Could we falter during these times? Could we be weak? Could we fall into sin, and could that drive us out of God's love and affections? To where the Lord will just shut us off and boot us out? By the way, this isn't just theory, because folks, Paul experienced everything in these verses. You know, it talks about that in 2 Corinthians. The whole list is there. He went through the peril, the shipwreck, beaten, you know, stoned. He went through it all. Every time he came to town, he should have checked out the local jail because that's where he's headed. You know, the Jews hated what he was teaching. They were self-righteous, works situation. He's preaching faith, works don't count, and they throw him in jail. They beat him up, you know. Paul went through that every town he went to. Over and over and over and over again. I marvel. You talk about a dedicated Christian, folks. Wow. God put him there for an example for us. And I look at that and say, man, I'm a puny wimp compared to that, you know. So, anyway. But God can work through all of us. So what's the answer to that question, verse 35? We go into verse 36. It says in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Turn to Psalms 44, 22. Psalms 44, 22. And who'd read that for us? Royce, I see that hand.
Yet, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted sheep for the slaughter.
Okay. Folks, it's nothing new. That's back in the book of Psalms. And it's what Paul did. He simply quoted this verse. And again, of course, Paul has to use the Old Testament. That's all there was written at that time. And that's what the Jews studied. That's what they believe. And Paul keeps going back to their own scriptures that they know, that they're supposed to know, and he quotes it to them. And we've seen Paul do this over and over and over again. So Paul quotes this verse. And basically what Paul's meaning here, he says, this is old teaching. It's old teaching, clear back Old Testament times. It doesn't take us out of the love of God. It doesn't take us out of the love of God. It just shows that we're in it. This isn't anything strange. This is history of those who love God. Folks, persecution's been around for a long time. In this passage, it is a plea for God to deliver Israel in distress. And Paul's essentially saying in taking that text is that all the saints of all the ages have endured this, referring to persecution. They all have. So don't be surprised when it happens to us. We shouldn't be. Turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, and we're going to look at verses 37 through 39. These are tough verses here, folks. Anyway, who'd read these for us? John?
What were they again?
37 through 39.
He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, he is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
Wow. I see those verses and wow, how do you measure up, Jim? How you doing? You know, and again, that's when I say I'm weak. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength because I'm weak. If you're not willing to say no to your father and your mother and your home and everything else, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, if you're not willing to pay the price and come after Christ, you're not worthy to be his disciple. Folks, where does that leave us? Unworthy. Unworthy. So Paul says it isn't that this drives us from Christ. This just reminds us that we belong to him when we're going through persecution. And Lord, I need your strength. Lord, help me. Help me to grow as a Christian. Help me not to be the same today that I was yesterday. Help me to grow. And we should do that out of love for what he's done for us. Folks, we look at heaven. We look at the future we've got. Wow. You know, and I guess it just the mind popped in my mind. You know, so we can continue to sin that grace may abound. You know, God forbid. You know, no. You don't. Anyway, but that's the attitude of a lot of people. Well, I'm saved now. I can go out and I'm eternally secure. I can go out and live like the devil. Well, folks, you're in for a spanking from God. So Paul says that it isn't, so Paul says it isn't that this drives us from Christ, it just reminds us we belong to him. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's normal. It's natural. So don't feel like you're the only one. We shouldn't feel that way, okay? What if that kind of stuff really happens to people and it drives them away from Christ? All right? Then the truth of the matter is they were never saved. Wow. And that's turned to 1 John 2:19. We studied 1 John not too long ago. Now if I can get this page turned. Okay. Who'd read this for us? 1 John 2:19. Okay. Okay. Thank you, John. Okay. And all of a sudden we're thinking, whoa, you know, what if I, anyway, don't tar and feather me yet here. But that's the word of God, okay? If they depart, if they buckle, because God is going to help us. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. When somebody goes out, in other words, they leave, they turn their back on Christ, they walk away, that doesn't mean they lost their salvation. Folks, that's proof they really never had it. Notice that little phrase, for thy sake. You know, it talks about for thy sake. Well, I'm backing up here, back to Romans here. For thy sake, I got to get back to Romans. Okay. Okay, we're in verse 36 here. In the middle of that verse, it says, in verse 36, it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. When it talks for thy sake, that is a Christian saying, God is for your sake, I'm doing this. For thy sake expresses a willingness on the part of the Christian to stand up against persecution and honor the Lord. For thy sake. It expresses a willingness on the part of God's truly redeemed to bear the cross. And it's just what the Savior said. These are the true disciples who are willing to take up the cross, where you separate the men from the boys. For thy sake, we are willing to suffer. We're willing to pay the price. Turn to Luke chapter 9. I hope I can finish this lesson because some of this stuff's going to leave us hanging in the air. Hope I can get through it all. Luke 9, and it's verse 57 through 62. Who'd read that for us, please? Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. These are tough verses. But they're the Word of God. It's Jesus speaking. And folks, I think it's a call to obedience for us to look at our own lives and say, Lord, am I living this out? Am I living it out? You come with a commitment to follow whatever the price, whatever the cost. A true believer perseveres through these things like the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. The true Christian will persevere because God is on his side. God is going to help us through. God's going to see to it that we persevere. It's not our strength, folks. It's His strength that's going to carry us through. We're not saved by our own good works, and we are not cannot lose our salvation by our works. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. I got these things marked. I still can't find them. Okay, Hebrews 3:14. Who'd read that? Gary? Okay. It says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our obedience steadfast unto the end. And a lot of times the Bible talks about those who persevere. You know, well, again, God, I'm getting ready to get to that. I hope I, anyway. A true believer holds out on and steadfast to the end. He doesn't bail out. There's a willingness to go all the way, if need be, to death. That verse goes on to say in Romans, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is Paul's personal testimony. And folks, you know his life. But it applies to us too. We don't face things that severe now, but we need to be ready. Folks, I think we need to be girding up our loins. That's nothing new. Things seem to be headed that way. We need to ask God to make us strong. God, I need your help. I need your help to be strong. I need your help to persevere. And yet Paul goes on in verse 37. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then comes the answer in one word, nay, no. These things are not going to drive us to the love of God. No, in fact, all these things are, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Wow, what does that mean? The word here is H-Y-P-E-R-N-I-K-M-E-N. We don't just win, we win big. Not only does it not cause us to lose our salvation, we become super conquerors. When we get hit with tribulation, persecution, famine, and sword, we don't just squeak through, we come out roaring, a super conqueror. That's basically what these verses are saying. Words straight out of God's mouth. We don't just win, we come out super conquerors for two reasons. Reason number one is that when we come out winning, okay, the whole thing makes us better than when we started. And I think, can anybody testify the fact that they have grown spiritually when we've gone through trials and tribulations? I have, okay? Everything that happens in our lives is refining us. God is chipping away. The diamond in the rough is what we are, and He's chipping away the dross or the bad stuff out of it, making us a fine-looking diamond. When we go through these kinds of struggles, we come out hating sin more and loving righteousness more. It will draw us closer to God. Desiring more of God, understanding ourselves better, gives us a chance to, you know, God already knows we're weak, but a lot of times these trials and tribulations let us take a look at our lives and see, you know, I thought I was a pretty hot Christian, but after going through this, I realize I'm not so hot after all, you know. Able to help others because we've been through it. That's very comforting to some people. Say, I can help you. It just enriches us every way we look at it. We see the ugliness of our own sin, of our own weakness. We come out on the other side with a better understanding of ourselves. Lord, I realize now I need you more than ever. Lord, I'm serious. I'm praying now. I'm praying more than I ever have. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your strength to get through whatever this trial is that we're all going through. A greater longing for God, a greater hunger for holiness. Lord, I want to have a closer walk with you. Help me to do that. I need your help. I need your strength to do it. It's not in my human nature. Lord, I'm weak. I need your help. It's a victory that we come out better because of it. We come out super conquerors. It strengthens us. Reason number two that we're super conquerors is because every one of those things works for us a far greater eternal weight of glory. Folks, a brighter heaven. There's degrees of blessing in heaven. It lets us climb up the ladder one more notch as far as up the scale as blessings in heaven. Each time we go through those kind of things, we come out recipients of a greater eternal reward. And that's the super conquering aspect. And so Paul has really diffused the argument through these verses that you can lose your salvation. Our time, we've got a minute. So it's time to shut her down. That clock's my biggest enemy. I've always said that. I just get on a roll, it's time to shut her down. So I love this book of Romans. Again, folks, and look at these. Anytime we read the Bible, and I just thought of this coming over. It's like God sitting right here just speaking these words right to us. You know, it's God breathed. It's His words, inspired of the Holy Spirit. Any questions or comments? And again, folks, I'm going to run home. I'd rather stay around a fellowship, but somebody back there might be needing something. So, any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
You may be going to get to this, but back in Hebrews 3:14, which somebody read, says we are now made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end.
Yeah.
There's a difference between our sin as a Christian and as a non-Christian to harden our heart and turn away from the God that we
serve. Thank you very much, John. No, I wasn't going to come to that. So you did, that was a blessing to all of us. So I hope you all heard that. So, okay, thank you, John. Anybody else? Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Folks, I hope these lessons are helping you. They're certainly helping me to go through this, and it just puts life in perspective. So anyway, let's close the word of prayer. Father, thank you so much. Lord, we have your word. We can open it. We can hold it. We can study it. And Lord, forgive us when we don't take it serious as we should. And Lord, just help, I pray, Lord, for this whole group of people. Lord, we will all be growing spiritually. We'll be growing stronger. We'll be understanding you and your ways and Lord, just life in general better. And Lord, help us to be strong if persecution does come. And Lord, help us to be strong. But Lord, help us not to rely on our own strength. Lord, we'll fail. We'll fail miserably. But Lord, we need your strength. We need your help to walk this Christian life. And Lord, just to persevere. And Lord, we do pray that we'll persevere. And your word says you're going to help us to do it if we're Christian, if we're truly Christians. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone in this room now that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, they'll do it before it's eternally too late. Lord, just impact their mind and let them know that they need to reach out and ask Christ to come in to save them. And Lord, and I just pray that if anyone will do that, that they'll give that serious thought, and that they might do that, turn to Christ. So just be with the pastor as he brings a morning message. Lord, I pray that you'll speak, and Lord, and people will receive the message that you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray.